We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
I don't know how it keeps happening. It's Friday night. Happens every week, it seems like to me. And here we are, bringing you Tech 5. Couldn't be happier. It's February. Come on, man. You were just saying.
Well, February you love. You go cross-country skiing in Frick Park.
When there's snow on the ground, yes. And then we had a lot of snow in January. So
right.
I was out
but
there
when there's not snow on the ground.
And Shenley Park, too.
So what do you do in Frick Park when there's not snow on the ground and it's February?
I ride my bicycle and I hike.
And you make sure that the soil is not too soft.
Not too muddy. No, you don't
right.
want to do
you
that.
Don't want to ruin the...
Don't want to ruin the trails. There's some great trails in Frick Park. And the last thing you want to do is completely destroy them because you have the Jones for a little bit of trail action. So you got to temper that. Get on your road bike instead, or stick to the wide paths, but don't go on the greasy single track ones like that. Stay off.
There's
too much good stuff in Pittsburgh.
But so I love going into the park in the winter.
Me too, because there's less people there.
No, not because there's less people, because there's so many different things to observe.
There are. As an observation, when I was cross country skiing through Frick Park, I saw, I believe, it was a falcon eating a squirrel. Just sitting there, pecking away at it, just tearing it to pieces with blood flying all over the place. And he's looking at me like, yeah, I'm eating a squirrel. I'm like, well, you keep doing that, man. You keep doing that. I was actually a little afraid that if I stared it down, it might attack me. Because it was like thinking I was like wanting some of its squirrel action.
Yeah.
I was not very
little
hungry
they
for
know,
squirrel.
You're not a squirrel, man.
I'm not a squirrel eater. You know, as tasty as it looked, all, you know, making a nice blood splatter across the snow. But that's nature, and you can get that in Frick Park in Pittsburgh.
You know, there's lots of activities in terms of what's happening here in Pittsburgh.
I mean, now,
the business interest and the growth of the business community in tech just continues to grow.
It's killing me.
And
it's so cool.
Look what happened in January, the announcement of Hazelwood Green.
I know.
And breaking ground there so that hopefully by the summer we'll have some good presence.
Is it summer over
in Hazelwood?
Yeah, okay.
And I mean, I'm just excited.
I know.
Did you hear Bakery Square 3? It's gotten approval. And
I thought they were
back
on 5 and 6 right now.
I know. All of these are just so exciting.
I can't keep track. I know.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, obviously the big announcement in January, you know, was Pittsburgh being selected as a finalist in the top 20 for the Amazon
HQ2. Well, that was one. But how about Ron Bianchini selling his company,
Avere,
to Microsoft?
Avere
sold to Microsoft. That's probably been his second or third company.
I think it's his fourth.
Is it his fourth?
It might be, yeah. He had some early on ones way back in the day. So
yeah, so that's great to have Microsoft here.
Exactly.
Really.
Building presence.
Very exciting by that.
So and how about having GeekWire here? They just
GeekWire
arrived.
GeekWire coming here out of Seattle.
Exactly.
And for those of you who don't know GeekWire, just Google that, and you'll see the kinds of stories that they write. So it'll be nice to have some people from outside of the area.
Exactly.
Really on the ground. Not just sort of parachuting in occasionally.
But a whole month.
But a whole month on the ground in February. And, you know, there are people who said, why would they come in February? I'd be like, why not?
I was saying, why would they come in February?
I would say, why not? I think it's great. There's lots of things to do.
I would pick May, but hey, let's make the best of February. Maybe because February is so short, it helps somehow works with their expenses that it's 28 days as opposed to 30 or 31 days. But who knows? I'm glad they're here. They had a nice little welcoming party just yesterday over at Birchmere, which I thought was pretty cool. Drew quite the crowd there to come and check it all out and kind of welcome them. So I'm excited about it. So should be good. So February's coming on our way. And before we know it, we're going to be saying, where did 2018 go? Even though we're only a month into it, I feel like I can see the trajectory already. And it's fun trying to keep pace with it. It really is.
So much fun.
Absolutely.
So we have some cool guests on our show today.
We do. I took the mobile field unit out.
To Cafe Sam.
Like, I had to go visit Jack.
So that's in East Liberty or Bloomfield.
It's like Bloomfield where it meets East Liberty. It's like this weird this weird juxtaposition
right?
of many
and
neighborhoods.
And so that happens to be...
That's the stomping grounds, the
Jack
meeting
Roseman.
Place, the lunch establishment of Jack Roseman. And if anyone doesn't know Jack Roseman, he's probably one of Pittsburgh's pioneering technology entrepreneurs. I mean, actually building his companies back in the 70s. which I think is pretty amazing.
I know, it is pretty amazing. And was he with Buchanan Ingersoll for a while?
He had his own Roseman Institute in Ingersoll, but he doesn't do that anymore. But, you know, I think if everyone knows him from his days at Carnegie Mellon University, where he, you know, was a professor and basically taught entrepreneurship. And, I mean, and so Jack, you know, he wrote a book way back in the day called Outrageous Optimism.
I like that book a lot.
Yeah. Critically acclaimed here in Pittsburgh. Lots of people read it and kind of took it to heart. And now he has his new book called Jump, which he's going to be, it's actually just out now. If you go into Amazon, Amazon.com, speaking of Amazon, and just search for Jack Roseman Jump, his book is right there. It's like $18. And guess what? If you buy a copy, the proceeds are being donated to a charity, part of which could be the Pittsburgh Technology Council. So
that's great.
Yeah, I think it's great. It's his
way of
giving
back. So Jack wants to give back. He wants to help.
He does.
He's willing to open up his own shingles without any charge to let those people who might not have access to mentorship have access to him. So he wants to. And so people want to know more about that.
Yeah. Well, I think the best bet is to reach out to us,
okay,
and we can connect you to Jack.
Council.
So if you just go to the Tech Council, just look for Jonathan or Audrey, either of us, you can find our emails. You can contact us, and we'll put you in front of Jack, because Jack's looking to, you know, do a little thing and make sure that the next generation moves forward. So I did a double interview at Cafe Sam.
What did you have for lunch?
Do you know what I had? I had a giant, what are they called, the Italian thing, a giant manicotti. Exactly. I think you might hear me like slurping it down. I wasn't eating as I interviewed. But you can hear at one point, I believe, the waitress come and give us our check. So, like I said, I take it where I have to take it to get the interviews, Audrey. I'm just saying, you got to do it. You got to do it. Too cool. And we also have SDLC partners stopping by the show tonight.
They've got a lot of different things starting
I can't keep track of
all
the different things.
Robotics?
Robotic process
cyber.
Automation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just spun out Siluma for cybersecurity. So wherever they're finding ways to use technology to solve complicated problems, SDLC Partners is doing it. So I'm excited to talk to those guys tonight. So I don't know, kind of a hybrid show tonight, us kind of spinning it off like this, and then me out in the field kind of bringing the stories back, because that's what you got to do sometimes.
Absolutely. I'm glad to get out there.
Do you know we need to have stopped by the show? Our friends from GeekWire at the end, so they can tell us what they thought of Pittsburgh.
I want an
honest evaluation. I will reach out to them and say, hey,
we
were invited. We want to know the good, the bad, the ugly, the whatever. Just because they have a little more perspective outside to see how Pittsburgh is kind of faring these days. And I think it's kind of exciting. So I think it's really pretty cool.
I think it's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got a couple key events coming up our way. CIO of the Year is happening April 19th.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my
goodness.
That's
a big event.
Yeah, registration just opened for it.
Oh, wow.
I really encourage people, register, because it sells out every year. If you want to get in front of the top tech execs in Pittsburgh, say that 15 times.
And it's also just a fun night.
And it's a fun night.
Information officers and security officers. So we're,
go to PGH,
we're happy to have fun with that crowd.
Absolutely. Good people there. And just, like I do say, it does sell out, and get your tickets early, because we have like a waiting list. And we got to tell people no. We hate saying no to people. We want to say yes. But when you run out of seats, you got to say no. So it's as simple as that. Anyhow, we're taking a break. We are coming back with a double deep dive with the one, the only, Jack Roseman. Go to Amazon.com, search for Jack Roseman, and jump. Buy his new book. Lots of inspiration about how he made it from the ghetto to being a tech success.
Right. I forget that story.
Very cool story with Jack. He's an inspirational dude. Everyone needs to learn about him. Simple as that. Anyhow, we're coming right back. Learn more about the Tech Council by going to pghtech.org. We love helping tech companies succeed. We've been doing it 35 years, Audrey. That's kind of crazy.
You've been doing it 35 years.
No, 20. Having way too much fun. And yeah, also follow us on Twitter at PGHTech. We'll be right back. It's always so much fun to take Tech Vibe Radio on the road and into the locations. Just finished having lunch with Jack Roseman here at Cafe Sam at his table. Since what, 1988, Jack?
1988.
You've been holding court here, I think, for lack of a better term here. Table 32.
Yes.
Just had lunch, just talking about what's going on in Pittsburgh's technology scene, entrepreneurial scene. And if anyone doesn't know Jack Roseman, then I don't think they've been in Pittsburgh very long, because anyone who's been in Pittsburgh knows that Jack is synonymous with technology, entrepreneurship, mentoring, the whole nine yards, and he's also a prolific author as well, too. He wrote a really cool book about 2004, I think it was, yes. Outrageous Optimism.
Have a good day, guys.
And I think it inspires, it has inspired and continues to inspire a lot of people to, you know, keep their companies running forward.
I still get requests for that book.
I believe it.
It's out of print.
Right. People calling up. Do you have extra copies at home? So if someone says they want a copy, you can like mail them one?
Yeah. I wouldn't want to advertise this.
You can advertise.
No, but I don't want to.
Okay, you don't. Oh, you don't. Okay.
No, I put a bunch aside for family.
That's good.
But every so often, people ask me, can't I have a couple? I want to give them away as gifts.
Yeah.
So I dig that. So you do I dig that. Into that bunch.
Absolutely. Anyhow, it was one of those books that I think it really Pittsburgh really reacted well to that book.
I never got any negative comments. I always
how
ask
could
people,
you? I mean, the whole book was about being being an optimist, and
never
and,
got a negative.
Absolutely, I believe it. And so now you're just ready to release your follow up to this book, almost 15 years later.
Yeah,
it's called Jump.
Jump.
This is when you told me the story behind this, I was really excited. So Jack, tell us about Jump real fast. Give us the quick elevator pitch for it.
Okay. When I was young, 7, 10, I don't remember how many centuries ago.
Centuries.
And it was a recurrent nightmare that I had for many years.
Okay.
In fact, I was embarrassed to tell anyone until I became in my 80s.
Wait, back up. So it took you that long?
Yes.
Wow.
I was embarrassed. And in essence, the nightmare was, my mother was at the bottom of the stairway, and I was up there in a tall stairway, puts out her hands out, and she says, jump.
Is the house on fire?
No.
Okay.
Just jump,
okay.
And I always listen to my mother.
Right.
So I jumped. And as soon as I jumped, she walks away. And I fall flat on my face.
Do you feel the pain when you're hitting the ground?
Oh, yeah, I saw the blood.
You saw the blood? Oh, my goodness.
And I said, Mom, what did you do? She says, don't rely on anyone, not even your mother.
Wow, this is deep.
Yeah.
This is a dream. You've had this dream your entire life.
Yes. And I thought, what was it that got me out of the ghetto?
Right.
Because we were the poorest of the poor.
Because you have an interesting background. Tell us about that. Right.
Well, my folks came from the old country just before the Nazis got in.
Right.
And my father came. He was a tailor.
Okay.
My father and mother never went through grammar school. And the plan was, and he had two sons and a daughter in the old country. And you're great. And he says, I'm going to come to the States. I'm going to work as a tailor. And when I have enough money, we'll bring you over and gradually get children over.
Wow. Jeez. Interesting.
Yeah. See, it was.
Yeah. So and you came here with nothing.
Nothing.
And worked your way up to being one of Pittsburgh's most successful tech entrepreneurs, for crying out loud.
Oh, that's... but that was a lifetime.
Exactly.
A lifetime. But...
Right.
There are a couple things I learned from my folks.
Okay.
Who never... Again, I emphasize, never went through grammar school. One, thinking about that, my mother was very proud that she taught herself fractions.
Interesting.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Taught herself fractions.
That's
very
what
cool.
She was proud of.
Nice.
And next to becoming an American citizen. And so the father saved up enough money, brought over my mother and my brother.
Okay.
My brother had, at the time, diphtheria, scarlet fever, and polio simultaneously.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So my mother and he came over, and that's when I was born. This was back around, 1930. And then my folks saved up enough money to bring over my sister.
So one by one, they brought you over.
Staying with an aunt.
And so you were, basically, as you said, living in a ghetto,
yeah,
and basically poverty at that point.
Oh, yes.
Just scraping by.
Yes.
And you needed to rely on yourself.
Yes.
In order to,
yes, to do whatever,
to do whatever you had to do to, yeah. So what? So as a young boy, then, yeah, you realized that you had to get out of this.
Yes.
And there was one or two ways out, and you had to pick a way.
And the nightmare helped me.
And the nightmare helped you
because
it realized,
there's no one going to put a hand out and say, "Hey, let me help you."
Help you,
out.
You right. You got to rely on yourself.
You got to rely on yourself.
Wow.
And that's what I
that's been a driving factor of yours for your entire
no
life.
Question.
Then, obviously.
No
and
question.
Something that you even dream about.
Except.
Okay.
There's the biggest question. When I wrote this last book, Jump.
Yeah.
Here I'm proud of relying on myself. And there's a bunch of bull. And the reason was a bunch of bull is I wanted to thank the people that helped me.
Right.
And the list became longer than 100 people.
Okay.
I said, well, wait a minute. How can I have done it all this by myself?
Myself, if I'm thanking all these people.
So, in life, you need your inner self to push.
Definitely.
But whether you want to or you don't, there's going to be people going to help you. And there's some people they're going to rely. You're going to rely on. When you stop for a red light, you assume the others are going to stop for a red light.
Exactly right.
So you rely on people, but the big emphasis has to be where are you going,
mm-hmm,
and how you're going to get there.
Okay.
And I thought I have to be twice as smart, which I wasn't. I'm not. This is not modesty.
I got you.
But you have to work at least twice as hard, which I did.
And it shows.
In fact, for till 1973. My ethic was 18 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Oh, my goodness.
No, that's true.
Right. That's some
that
serious drive.
That heart attack.
Exactly. Which is one of those turning points in your life, obviously, that was part of what you are. I just find this stuff just so amazing. And that's why I'm so excited that you've written this book to provide some inspiration for people out there that are building companies. They're just living their own life as well, too. Even if you're not building a company, I think there's so much value in this book. Because
that's
you really
correct,
do provide an inspiring story.
In every person's point of view on their life, they really have to take a jump.
Exactly. Make that leap.
That's right. And so what you take a look is one of the questions I enjoy asking myself
right
every time I jump, mm-hmm, was what have I got to lose?
Ah, exactly. That's a good starting point.
So you take a look
that
at what can I gain and
right
what have I got to lose?
And
let that equation work out.
Very interesting. I'm reminding everyone, so we are talking to Jack Roseman, author of Jump, author of Outrageous Optimism, all-around Pittsburgh good guy, all-around tech guru, entrepreneur guru. Jack, you got too many titles. Too many titles, and I'm so glad to be talking to you. And we have a lot more coming your way to learn more about your book. So if you go to Amazon.com and search for Jack Roseman and Jump, you can order a copy of this book. I really encourage everyone. This is great, fun read, inspiring read, heartfelt, without a doubt.
And I'm not interested in making any profits in this book.
Right.
A bulk of his profits is going to go to the Tech Council.
We're so excited about that. We think that is just so generous that some of these proceeds are going to go to help cover some of the program, help us help entrepreneurs and help the tech companies and so forth. And to have your story be able to do that, I think is just so fascinating, which is why we're coming back
okay
with more of your story, more about what's going on in Jump. And I really want to pick your brain about what's going on in Pittsburgh's tech sector, because you've seen this in action for the past 50 years, Jack. That is really amazing stuff. And so, once again, we are here at Cafe Sam at Table 32 that you had since 1988. I just love being here talking to you, Jack. We're taking a quick break, and we're coming right back with more Jack Roseman. Welcome back, everybody. This is Jonathan Kirsten with the Pittsburgh Technology Council. I am here at Cafe Sam, Table 32, with Jack Roseman, who just finished his book, his second book, called Jump, follow-up to Outrageous Optimism. As we said before, Jack is just, he's like a Pittsburgh legend, for lack of a better term. Anyone in business and in technology knows Jack's name. They've probably done business with Jack. They've probably had lunch with Jack here at Cafe Sam at Table 32. And I'm just so excited to help him promote this new book, because I think it's something that everyone should really give a good read and a spin, because it's very inspiring. And before we left for break, Jack was talking about an 18-hour workday, and that's how driven he was, because he knew and knows he has to rely on himself. Things are going to happen, but there's a consequence to working 18 hours a day, and that caused a lot of stress in your life. And one of the turning points in your life was having a massive heart attack.
Yes,
where you were just saying at break, you didn't have a very good prognosis to live. Pretty scary stuff. Tell us about that and how that kind of changed your perception and how that drove you forward to kind of be the man that you are today.
Well, the doctor told my wife that I probably would not make the evening.
Wow.
And I knew it was serious, just like how people were looking at
you. People were looking at you. They're like, wait a second.
Adios.
Oh, goodness gracious.
In fact, I was really indebted to the doctor, and I told Judy, my wife, make sure you buy an expensive briefcase. The guy's name was Bob Donovan, Dr. Bob Donovan.
Wow. Amazing.
A wonderful guy. And so I knew it was it. And for a long time thereafter, because obviously I didn't die that day.
No, you're still here, thank God. We're glad you're here, Jack.
The thing that's working my way is only the good die young.
Uh-huh.
Was I used to have a watch on, a wristwatch, and it was one that you could put some timing on it, and I put a timing at midnight every night.
Okay.
And for many, many, many years afterwards, it would buzz at midnight every night.
Remind you.
I lived another day.
That's awesome, man. I love it.
I lived another day.
That's
and so
cool.
It turned out to be a something very bad turned out to be very good.
Right.
How many people think I lived another day?
Right. No, it really, I mean, it focuses you on what's important.
Correct.
To the very basics that we're here, you know? You're alive. You can jump.
I can jump.
You can jump.
And I can thank the stars for letting me live this much and to be with my wife and my kids and people.
Definitely. So how did that change your views towards, like...
I take every Sunday off.
Take every Sunday? I could say so.
That's
18
it.
Hours every day except for Sunday.
Sunday, that's it.
Sunday you take off.
16 hours a day, that's it. But more important is what can I do to show my gratitude to my fellow man.
Nice. I love it. I love it. It makes so much
sense.
And
so, to this day on, if I can help someone, I will do it.
And you do. And I know the folks that meet with you regularly, that you provide advice and insight and just give a good ear to.
Yeah. It's a raison d'être why I live.
I believe
it. Is to help mankind. Is to help life.
Absolutely.
Whether it's... outrageous optimism or jump. I don't make a dime, and I don't want to make a dime out of it. It's just to help my fellow man.
Right. So let's go back to jump a little bit. What would you say are some of the key takeaways that, you know, if someone reads this book, what would you hope that someone takes from the book?
Good question. Is when you're on a fork in the road, you can't always take the easy way out. Sometimes you really have to jump. You have to take on and believe in yourself.
And that's the hardest part right there, right?
Yes, it is. I think it's easier to love your fellow man than to love yourself.
I've never heard that before. Okay.
That's what I believe.
Exactly.
Because if you really loved yourself, you would do more things and you would be more happy. You'd be more satisfied with life.
That is changing my mindset right now as you say that. That's intense, very intense, and very true as you say that.
Yes, it is. And when you make mistakes, and as an entrepreneur, you'll make many.
That's the whole point of it.
But as living, you'll make many.
Of course.
Forgive yourself. It's okay.
Learn from it, though, right?
The question is, you'll learn more from mistakes than you will from successes.
I've heard that before, and man, that is true. Absolutely.
So live. And we all make mistakes, and hopefully we will all learn from mistakes, and we'll become a better man. Oh, I'm sure. A better woman.
Absolutely.
Love thyself. Do it.
That's powerful stuff.
I just say do it.
Just do it. Just do it.
Do it. Have faith.
And if it doesn't work, you learn from it, right?
Yeah. Yes. And in most cases, if you fail, worry how far you're falling.
I think sometimes we tend to prop up in our minds that if we do fail, that's going to be this long drop. But maybe when you jump, it's not so far of a jump so far of a fall if you don't quite make it. Any other times that you could tell us about, like when maybe like things didn't work out and you tried with the best of intentions and it didn't work out, but even though it didn't work out, it still worked out a little bit later on down the road? Or
yeah, I can't do that. One of the companies I started in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
were getting some small contracts from government. And I went in with another fellow. His name is Dominic Leite.
Okay. Your from name Pittsburgh. And name. Your name from, and name, Jack. I like
from
it.
From Pittsburgh. And I said, Dominic, I'm going to take this next year and work on large contracts. I'm tired of these $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 contracts. Well, one time I came to work, and I always came a little late. It was 9, 9:30. And the few people we had, when around a dozen, were there to greet me. I said, well, what's wrong? Well, we don't have any inventory. There's nothing we can do. There's more.
Oh, my.
There's no more work to do.
Uh-oh.
So we went to the conference room, and I said, well, we took our chances. That's it. And that's as I was saying that, the phone rang.
Wow. Okay.
And again, true story. And it was the, we had a secretary didn't answer it. Then she came into the conference room and said, Jack, it's NASA calling. They want to talk to you.
It's NASA calling. I love it.
Well, I know what we put in a big contract, a big proposal to NASA for something like $4 million.
And it came through.
Well, not exactly.
Okay. Kind of came through.
So I answered the phone. They said, are you available tomorrow morning? So there's a joke to the other guys. I looked at my, I said, let me look at my diary here. I said, yes, I am available tomorrow morning.
As it would be. I had a cancellation, yes.
Can you come and meet us? So I went to NASA. This is in NASA, D.C., Green something.
Okay.
Greenbelt.
Greenbelt, okay.
And they said, you're number one technically. But what we're concerned is your stability. And this calls for 100 people.
Okay, got to hire 100 people here.
You only have like a dozen.
Right. So how do you answer that?
Okay. They said, well, let's assume for the sake of discussion it's IBM. I thought it was IBM at the time anyway.
Right.
But I said, if you think IBM has 100 people sitting on their hands just waiting for you to call, you're wrong. What is IBM going to do? IBM is going to hire 100 people.
They will do that if you give us the contract.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and what am I going to do? I'm going to hire 100 people. But if I can't out-hire IBM, then we should not exist anyway.
Bold.
I said, because everybody that joins us gets options. So if this company makes it, not only do they get a salary, but they're going to make big if the company makes it.
Right, right, right.
So I said, I can recruit people that IBM wants. And the other thing is, here's a calling card. In the back, I wrote my home phone number.
Right.
I said, if 3 o'clock in the morning, something screwed up.
Call me, right?
Call me.
Nice.
See if you can get the president of IBM's phone number to call him at 3 in the morning.
Tell me they gave you the contract, Jack. Tell me they gave you the contract. Did you get the contract?
At the end of the day, they gave me the contract.
That's awesome. I love it. What a great
story. So the day before, we didn't have any business.
Mm-hmm. Next day, you got to hire 100 people.
Yeah. Oh, we got a $4 million contract.
Then where do you take a heart attack? Oh, my gosh.
And that put us on the map.
Without a doubt. What a great story. Like, this is the type of inspiration and storytelling that you bring to the table that I think, you know, our listeners need to go and check out. So if you go to Amazon.com and search for Jack Roseman, jump with an exclamation point, you can dig into all this type of great stuff. Jack, I'm just so happy you're able to talk to us today about all this, because these are such fascinating
stories.
I'm happy
to be able to talk about it.
And what I'm really pumped about is we are now running you once again in the pages of TEQ Magazine and on our PGHTechFuse.com website. So you'll be providing more of this manna, dare I say, more of this spirit on a regular basis. People can be inspired by your, you know, your life and your experiences. So
now
I think
let me put in a little commercial.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And my commercial is this. I don't think there's enough African Americans in the tech universe.
We've all been saying that. How can we get more folks inspired and
so
engaged?
So if they're willing to call me, yes. I'm willing to meet with them at Cafe Sam.
Cafe Sam, table 32.
I'll buy them lunch.
Perfect. I like this
and
call.
And we can talk. And also, I think we can use more women. So for women and minorities.
Absolutely.
I'm particularly open for that.
Fantastic. I hope people take you up on that. We'll make sure that they can get in touch with you, Jack. They can come through us here at the Tech Council. Reach out to John Kirsting, Jay Kirsting at pghtech.org, and I will link you up with Jack. I swear, great, great stuff, Jack. Thank you again for taking the time to talk to us.
Truly my pleasure.
Very pumped about Jump with an exclamation point. Getting ready to be on press.
Okay.
And that people can go into Amazon and order it. I really encourage that. And read TEQ. Listen to Tech Vibe. We'll have you on in the next 3 or 4 months to give us more updates as to what's going on. Jack Roseman, you're the best, man.
Thank you.
Hey, we're taking a quick break. We're coming right back after this message. This is Jonathan Kirsting from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to Tech Vibe Radio this Friday night, where we get to talk to the great, cool people that are making Pittsburgh home, working on really tough problems, finding great solutions for them. And one of our big partners here at Tech Vibe Radio and the Pittsburgh Technology Council is SDLC Partners. These guys always blow my mind. They're always working on something new. Fast-growing company. And it's always exciting to talk to them about the latest and greatest as to what they're up to. And we have Paul Taylor here from SDLC.
Yes.
And we're going to be talking about robotic process automation, otherwise known as RPA. You got to give it an acronym, right?
Absolutely.
And we have Matt Cregan here as well, too. Thanks for stopping out and talking to us about this. So quickly, Paul, tell us about your background and what you do at SDLC.
Yeah, so I'm kind of in charge of what we call our service line SDLC partners. So the service line that I'm responsible for is called Office of CIO. Mm-hmm. So when you think about the name of our business, SDLC Partners, right, obviously we help our customers solve problems across the software development lifecycle. So I'm responsible for designing kind of our strategy and taking that to the market with respect to how we solve problems for our customers. And I've been with SDLC Partners now since April of last year.
Okay. What brought you there?
Well, I was working in a product as a service business for the last 13 years. And, you know, the problems got a little mundane after you fix everything. And,
it's all fixed.
I fancied my shot in consulting because, you know, there's a lot of new and interesting problems to solve, especially with the way that the whole digital evolution is going right now. So I met Chris Simchik and Scott Barniak, who are the two main partners at SDLC Partners, and they kind of excited me about what they were doing to diversify the business, and the rest is
history. You're like, sign me up, man.
Yeah, pretty much, you know. And I, by the way, I got it wrong. It wasn't April last year. It was April the year before.
See, time flies when you're having fun, when you're working on things like robotic process automation.
Scott will get me into trouble, you know.
So. Exactly. So Matt, what do you do with
SDLC? Yeah,
similar
story for me. I mean, Paul kind of passed that excitement on to me. He and I have crossed paths in the past. We both work in similar industries.
Right.
I've been more on the R&D side and development, but he passed that excitement on to me. And,
very cool.
I came on not too long after, and most of what I do is operationalize all the great ideas that Paul comes up with. So
he has the ideas, and you make them something that people can use and buy.
Absolutely, and I get to do it all across different industries.
I love it, man.
That's very humble. He takes the craziness, it turns into something that people understand.
That's so cool, man. I love it. So speaking of craziness, what is robotic process automation as a service? This is some cool stuff.
Yeah, so a lot of what we do for our customers is tied to kind of business process engineering. We like lean thinking. We use a lot of lean techniques. You know, everything these days is about efficiency, and there's a lot of pressures, you know, to do more with less, you know, the whole elimination of waste thing. And,
right.
You know, when we deliver transformation projects for our customers, we often leverage traditional automation to, you know, speed things up, make things better, obviously improve quality and so on.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things that, you know, is increasingly challenging with traditional automation is the sustaining of the iterations since, you know, as technology evolves. involves at the end of the day. You have to evolve the automation to continue to get the value out of that.
Sure.
And it's not cheap.
No, it's not. And happening all the time.
It is.
It doesn't stop. It's a here. We're done.
Exactly. So, enter the whole digital workforce thing and our journey that we're making into robotic process automation. In August of last year, we started a lab. And
you get to wear coats?
Well,
lab coats when you walk in there?
I do usually wear a coat.
I'm British, so I dress a bit funny anyway. So, I mean, I'm sure I look like I'm in a coat most of the time. We have a kind of technology lab in our solution center. We just moved to 1PPG last year.
I was going to say, it's downtown where you have that one.
Yeah,
you have two offices. One's in Monroeville and one's in downtown. So the lab is downtown.
Yeah, so our solution center is in 1PPG on the 32nd floor, and that's where our lab is for robotic process automation. And really, what we're doing right now is we're getting kind of operationally ready for all the projects that are coming our way, and we're certifying a lot of our resources to become various, actors in the RPA space,
such as
architects, which is kind of what Matt does for us, as well as development work and some of the other roles necessary to get those solutions to production.
Very cool. So Matt, tell us about how RPA is going to be used by your customers. Like I said, you're spinning it up, you're getting it ready. Tell us more about that and give us maybe like an example as to how this is going to save money, create efficiency, and all that kind of fun stuff.
Sure. So lots of problems out there. I mean, we have a lot of experience in the automation space traditionally, but with all the pressure to be a little bit more profitable and cost effective, there a lot of C-suites are looking for different ways to improve that automation to make it less expensive and make it more accessible. Plus, you have the evolution of AI. I mean, AI and ML aren't just hot; they're actually really useful right now.
Artificial intelligence, that's what Pittsburgh is on the map for right now.
Absolutely. And we want to leverage that, and RPA gives us a really good opportunity to do that in a very accessible way. So we're taking those technologies, we're integrating them with traditional automation to improve some of the same processes we've been proving in the past, but do it in a lot more intelligent ways, more effective, more cost-effective way, and efficient ways.
Cool. Can you give us a run-of-the-mill example as to how you can use this to help a company?
Sure. I mean, you can imagine lots of different businesses have communications that come in. They maybe have to turn that communication, maybe it's an email, into some sort of process. Maybe it's a request from a customer to change their information in a system or update their profile.
It sounds like a very laborious thing that you have someone do that they wouldn't want to be doing this over and over
again. And it requires multiple people sometimes because different people were experts on different systems. So that'll get passed. One person might do something. They might enter something into Excel.
Okay.
And that person has to take that Excel spreadsheet and they enter something into a database.
Right.
And then someone else has to run a report out. Maybe there's a quality check involved to make sure that everybody kind of
said
did their
quality
job.
Check. Sounds like there's room for error when there's lots of different humans entering these kind of, I don't want to say mindless things, but kind of mind-numbing things to a certain point.
Nobody likes to do these things. That's why we have computers in the first place.
Right.
So now we're just taking that to a new level and allowing some of that quality to be automated, and then we can do that in a lot more efficient and more less error-prone way.
Excellent. So tell me a little bit about like an engagement you would have with a customer. So they're coming to you with this problem, and you can take this and then customize that to the problem that they have as far as that goes.
Yeah, so we've just recently launched our Kickstarter service. We help our customers kind of identify candidates for robotic process automation.
I see.
So Matt and I just came back from LA recently. We were out there visiting a really cool customer out there. And
you went to Los Angeles a few weeks ago? Lucky for you. We got to escape our weather, right?
Yeah, it was weird. Yeah. Everyone was telling us about the fires there, and we're flying in expecting to see the whole place on fire. There's nothing there.
Nothing there. Okay.
Yeah. But we got there, we met with our customer, and it usually starts with a whiteboarding activity.
Right.
Get to understand kind of how they're doing what it is that they're doing today. As Matt alluded to already, we're always looking for the things that require heavy throughput. So if there's a repeatable task that needs to get done, whether it's something that at the end of the day recognizes revenue for the organization or something that makes changes, like a good example is membership for a health plan. There's always changes being done within a health plan, and there's intake of information. That information has to get processed, pushed out to multiple systems. and it's really easy to make mistakes.
Now you're stressing me out.
And you've got hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that are in these health plans, and you know, Paul Taylor sitting there poorly editing the data. So really, what the bots do is you know, they help organize kind of that workflow in a meaningful way. And unlike Paul Taylor, the bots don't go to sleep. The bots don't make mistakes. That
they just keep going and going and going.
Right.
And that's
exactly
correct. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So you know, we start with the whiteboarding. We get an understanding of the process. You know, we have various ways that, you know, we can take it from there. You know, we do some equivalents. So if they've got an efficient manual process, then we'll probably want to do some equivalents on the RPA side to see how the robots would perform the same process. But if it's an inefficient process, we'll probably throw our lean hats on and go, hey,
I was going to say, at that point, you can start solving problems from other areas as well, too, right?
Yeah, let's lean this thing out, because, you know, as Bill Gates puts it, you know, automation only really helps when you've got an efficient process. All it does with an inefficient process is highlights how inefficient it is. So, you know, we've got to make sure that that's streamlined. So, you know, right now we're training as many people as we can. We got some really exciting customers that are interested in RPA, and, you know, the pressures that are on all the C-suites to make things, you know, better, faster, cheaper are really what's driving our interest.
Absolutely. We're talking to Paul Taylor and Matt Cregan from SDLC Partners. Now, I was on your site, and you have some thought leadership around this. And I think if our listeners want to learn more about this, if they go to sdlcpartners.com, I believe just search for RPA. And that paper is going to come right up, because that really makes it concrete. As you read it and you kind of see the examples, it's just fascinating stuff.
Yeah, it's really cool right now. We're offering, if you go onto the website and look at some of our RPA articles, the recent one that just got posted, we'll actually give you a free copy of Gartner's latest research package that just recently got updated in December 2017. So now that there's a little bit of experience in RPA, this article is articulating kind of how it operates. Things. So if you're in the C-suite or one of the leadership roles in a technology business and you're thinking about RPA, this should give you a good head start, talk to you about operational models, and, you know, reach out to us and we're happy to help you.
That's what it's all about.
We'll be continuing to evolve that as well. I mean, the lab's gone and it's doing a lot of great things, so we'll keep updating that content.
We need to have you keep stopping back at the show to give us these updates, because I just love it. The company is just so fascinating, and the different facets that you work in and the technologies you're developing and the customers you work with. Very exciting. If you go to sdlcpartners.com, you can learn all about it right there. I love it, guys.
Thank you.
We got about a minute or so. I'm just curious, what kind of tech trends are you paying attention to right now? What's making Paul Taylor stay up at night? What's keeping Matt up at night?
Well, I mean, I spend most of my life with Gartner and Forrester, right?
Okay.
So, I mean, we're always looking at the, and I wouldn't necessarily say cutting edge, but, you know, I'm a problem solver. That's what I like to do. So if there's new technology coming out that's helping solve problems, you know, the hot things right now, obviously we've talked about RPA today.
Yep.
We're digging into artificial intelligence, machine learning, and starting to explore blockchain too, because that's becoming really important.
That's all I'm hearing about right now.
Yeah.
So, goodness.
You know, we got some really smart people and some great research standards. So, you know, lots of exciting things on the horizon. Matt,
yeah, similar things for me, but just to add to that, you know, probably IoT and sort of some of the privacy around that.
Definitely.
I don't want to say it keeps me up at night, but it's interesting. Yeah.
Keeps thinking, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Hey, guys, thank you for stopping by the show today. Really encourage everyone, sdlcpartners.com. Learn about this stuff. These guys, super smart, know what they're doing. Can't recommend them more. Anyhow, we're all out of time. Another Tech Vibe Radio under our belt. Encourage everyone, every single Friday night, tune in right here to KDKA at 7 o'clock for Tech Vibe Radio, bringing you the best of what's happening in Pittsburgh's technology sector. And while you're at it, go to pghtech.org to learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Follow us on Twitter at pghtech. And I have to give you one more website. Go to pghtechfuse.com for all the latest news, podcasts, video from the Pittsburgh Technology Council, its members, and the industry in general. Have a great weekend, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.